get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Usually when you see a great show, you remember it. You remember it for years. But when you see an awful show, that's something you can talk about for a long, long time.
Producer Sean, producer John, you said you had an interesting experience. John, what happened?
Yeah, on Friday, it was one of the more painful things that I've had to watch. Because, listen, I've bombed on stage before. I've seen a lot of people bomb on stage before.
I believe you.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. I've never seen someone's mic just get straight up shut off. And this was clearly a decision by either the band or the sound guy. I'm not sure. But there was a singer up on stage. Their mouth opened and I could see words being formed, sounds coming out, and absolutely nothing.
No amplification then.
Imagine being that poor woman, like getting up there, giving it all she's got and being so terrible that your mic gets turned off.
That's the thing. I don't even know if she was that terrible, but it can't have been great.
So wait a minute. So she started singing and then was cut off, or, you know, she just from the moment one, you never got to hear her actually vocalize.
So I never really got to hear her vocalize. This is what I think happened on the song before. It was like gang vocals and everyone was kind of harmonizing. And I have a feeling that in between that song ending and the next song starting, somebody was like, yo, that mic's got to go. That mic's got to get shut down.
That's a hateful act.
Yeah.
That's not nice at all.
Worst show you ever saw. Worst performance. I have two that stick out in my mind. And they are massive shows and they are awful.
Okay.
Raven, you were with me at one of them. I wonder if you think the same thing. All right. First, producer Sean. Worst show you ever saw?
High school. I had to go watch Sweeney Todd the Barber for my theater class. Now, let me tell you something. I don't like musicals. I can't stand them. I don't like plays or the Broadway performances. Not my thing. And it was so incredibly difficult for me to get through. And mind you, we're in the front row. And our teacher always said how, like, you know, if they're, like, doing well, spit might come out. So this guy's just spitting on me the entire night. So I'm stuck here. I'm getting spit on. This is great. Terrible.
High School Musical is tough, man. I've been in those, and it's rarely good.
Your vocals got a sore in
now,
that one.
I feel like High School Musicals have come so far, because like whenever I go see one now, I'm like, those kids should be on Broadway. Yeah. I'm always so impressed by them.
Yeah.
Raven, the worst show you ever saw?
I mean, I've got a few. I was at, this will date me, and some people will ridicule. I was at a Creed show one time.
Yeah, buddy.
When
Creed was
at the height of their thing, and this was before Creed, like, fell off, and everybody figured out that, wait a minute, there's actually some problems in this band. Scott Stapp, the lead singer, he was doing his Jesus thing on stage, and then he was asleep on stage. Oh. He was that drunk. He laid down on stage, and he just stayed there for a while.
I had a really bad interaction with Scott Stapp. We were at a Creed show, too. Great. Let me date myself
now,
too.
Mm-hmm.
Many
you guys
years
are
ago.
So awesome.
Well, I mean, if you ran into him somewhere else, you should have called authorities, but okay.
My girlfriend and I were crowd surfing, and she got kicked in the head so hard that the medics came and grabbed us and like pulled us back to bring us backstage to make sure she was okay. He walked right by us, like, and like she like called out to him. Like, it wasn't like he was far. He was right next to us, and he would not make eye contact. He could not have been more obnoxious. Meanwhile, she's got bandages around her head.
did she call out to him with arms wide open?
No. Nice try, though.
No. Listen, I'm not the one who went to the shows, guys.
About 1 in 3 Americans suffer from sleep issues. Is that you? What do you do to fix it? Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Jenna, I feel like so many of my friends have all these issues where they can't sleep. I have the opposite problem. I could be standing up and fall asleep. So what are the tips to help them out?
I think almost half of all Americans in a study that I looked at said they feel sleepy during the day most of the week. And adults, you know, ages 18 to 64 really need about 7 to 9 hours of sleep each night. And unfortunately, we're like a nation and a legion of underslept people The problem is if you don't get enough sleep, it can bleed into your overall health. So you can have memory issues and mood changes. People are more prone to depression and anxiety. I mean, it just wreaks havoc on your body. One of the important things is that there are ways to sort of intervene in getting yourself to have a better night's sleep. The best tip that I can give people, and I've written about this in magazines for years, is if you're in bed and you're watching the clock, so say you can't fall asleep at 12:30, then it's 12:45, 1:15, you have to get up. People should not lay in bed trying to go to sleep for more than 20 to 25 minutes, because once you stare at that clock, it causes something called anticipatory anxiety, which makes you even more nervous, and it's a vicious cycle. So the recommendation from sleep experts across the country is to get up and not sit in bed stewing that you can't fall asleep.
So Jenna, I know that, you know, you want to do something to distract you, but what if you, like, going into your phone is probably not the thing to do, right? Like,
I mean, every expert has always told us, don't do that. You can't do that. The blue light,
but it's so
the fact that your mind is working.
It's right on your nightstand. You just grab it. You're like, let me just read a couple articles real quick. No?
Right, right. And that's the problem. I think one of the interesting statistics in a lot of the literature is that our electronic devices are getting in the way of us having a good night's sleep. So absolutely do not get on your tablet. And the other interesting thing is there's this great rule that sleep experts tout. It's called the 10-3-2-1-0 sleep rule, okay? So this is one of the things that helps people get a good night's sleep. The 10 is the number of hours before bed when you should stop drinking caffeine. 3 is the number of hours before bed you should limit food or alcohol. Believe it or not, if you eat like before you go to bed, it can cause heartburn or digestive issues that definitely get in the way of falling asleep. And so that's really, really important. And definitely alcohol 3 hours before you go to sleep. And the funny thing is, if you've ever had a glass of wine or 2 or 3, a lot of people have, before going to bed, it may put you to sleep, but you sort of wake up very abruptly throughout the night having alcohol too close to bed. 2 is the number of hours before bed that you should stop working. So work, unfortunately, heightens your anxiety and it overstimulates your brain. And the worst thing you can do is bring your work into your bedroom. And 1 was exactly what you had said, the point that you made. 1 is the number of hours before you go to bed that you need to avoid screen time. So what Raven said about blue light is absolutely true, but the problem goes deeper than the blue light that it emits. The information that you receive from watching something, again, if it gives you an adrenaline rush, is it can stimulate your brain and make you feel really, really anxious. And 0, by the way, remember, it's the 10-3-2-1-0 rule, is the number of times you should hit the snooze button. So studies show us that sleepers who hit the snooze button think they're improving their mental health, but it's the exact opposite, actually. It gets in the way of feeling rested when you wake up.
We were just talking about that. Like, I never, ever hit the snooze button. I feel like if I hit the snooze button, I'll never wake up again.
Yeah, the day's over.
Yeah,
I will never get the things done that I need to get done. My wife is a 2-time snoozer.
Oh.
No wonder she's crazy.
Yeah. Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. These are all such great tips. Now, the problem is putting them into action to make them work.
Yeah, actually committing to doing it.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's like group therapy. What's driving you nuts right now? You want to get it off your chest? It's okay to vent around here. 1-800-330-9999. You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Isabella.
So if you wear headphones just to avoid talking to people, that's all I need to know about you.
I think that my son's girlfriend does this from time to time. She's got the AirPods, but she's not like talking to anybody. But like sometimes she has one in, sometimes she has two in. And when they have just one in and they're like, wait, hold on. And you just started talking to them. I feel like, wait a minute, you're lying. Your phone didn't actually just ring.
My daughter, my 14-year-old daughter, does this all the time. I think she wears her AirPods just to avoid having to have a conversation with me.
Right.
You know, like, I'll be like, I'll just like go in her room and start talking to her. And then all of a sudden I'll realize she's not paying any attention to me and she has them on. And I just wonder, is she actually listening to something or is this a tactic to avoid talking to mom about what happened that day at school?
I mean, everybody's done it before. You hold up the cell phone and you're like, oh, hold on a minute.
Well, I do it in the studio all the time. Even when we're not on the air, I put on my headphones and pretend like I'm editing audio. I just want Raven to stop talking. It's true. Sometimes you just need a break.
Hey, Vic, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're taking karaoke too seriously in that you are staring at one person as you sing, that's all I need to know about you.
That is creepy. Have you ever witnessed anything like this before, Anna?
Well, not really. I've seen people that take karaoke way too seriously.
Way seriously,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but not the one-on-one, like, let me make eye contact with you while I sing Journey, Don't Stop Believing.
So I had a friend that she used to host karaoke night forever. And, you know, from time to time, we would go down there and visit her. It was midweek. They had drink specials, all that. And it was fun. People would go in there, and they were rowdy. And, you know, she was a radio host, so people were funny or whatever. But there were some types in there that thought they were straight Celine Dion. Mm-hmm. That you know what I mean? And there's nothing more creepy than the guy that gets up there who thinks he's doing this incredibly brave thing, but then selects like a 4.5 minute song to sing to some girl that he's brought there for a random date.
Oh.
Yeah, man. Bad choice. Mm-hmm. Bad choice.
Taylor, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if you never iron your clothes and you are always showing up wrinkly, that's all I need to know about you.
I watched this TikTok star and she does lazy mom hacks. That's her thing. And her lazy mom hack was to not fold the kids' laundry because people don't realize if kids' clothes are wrinkled.
Yeah.
What if I did this to my husband? What if I just, instead of, like, you know, folding his clothes nicely and, like, ironing his shirts, I just threw them right in the drawer and was like, nope, lazy mom hack. Not, I'm not doing it anymore.
You know, it's funny because I actually told my wife to stop folding my clothes, right? Anything that comes out of the dryer or something that comes off the drying rack, I tell her, don't fold those because the creases are bigger. Just lay them on my bed and then I'll hang them. And so it kind of gets rid of some of the wrinkles. That being said, they make dress shirts today without, like, they're supposed to be iron free.
Yeah.
Even if you have an iron free shirt and they throw it in the dryer for 10 minutes or whatever, it still doesn't look the same as if something is ironed.
Right.
I iron virtually all my clothes.
I don't. I hate ironing. But the things that are necessary, I certainly do.
Mm. Yeah. I had a friend who used to iron his boxers.
My mom to this day irons underwear all the time. We go to our house, every pair of underwear is ironed.
Fresh pressed.
Yep. Can somebody please explain to me why this happened? I was writing an email to my coworkers on Sunday night, and my Mac kept capitalizing Chris Rock. Whenever I wrote his name, it was all capital letters, Chris Rock. And I was like, that's weird. So I would go back and I would erase it, and then I would go write it again. Boom! It would all capitalize once again. I'm like, did Chris Rock pay somebody off for this to happen?
Some sort of Apple licensing deal? This was on your laptop, on your phone?
On my laptop.
Yeah.
Which has never happened. Like, just writing an email in my Outlook. How weird is that?
That is weird. You know, I mean, obviously, it'll capitalize proper names when it sees it in cities and stuff like that. If you're doing, and you have to, like, select it to correct it.
This
just strange to do the entire name.
Entire name, all caps. And I was like, huh. I wish my name, like when people wrote Anna Zapp, would just capitalize everywhere you went, right?
Right. I mean, it definitely sticks out.
Technology does some weird things sometimes. You can't explain it. You kind of just go with it. After I try to correct it three times, I'm like, nope, this email is going to have Chris Rock's name in it three times, all capitalized.
Yeah. I mean, sooner or later, you got to move on with your life.
Right.
Sometimes it just fights you. I tell you one thing that's driving me nuts is every time I get in my car, this is my car, all right? This is the one I drive all the time, and technology is all supposed to get smarter. If my wife is coming with me, it connects to her phone and not mine. Like, what's happening here? I went through it. I went through the settings. Mine is listed above. I don't understand. It's like the car has a preference.
And it's your wife.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that really makes me mad.
I think it happens to a lot of people. What technology do you have that does really random, strange things? 1-800-330-9999. Joe?
My microwave, I literally have to unplug it and then plug it back in every time I want to use it. It's such a pain and such a time waste.
How annoying that must be.
Right. How do you discover that? I mean, it's, you clearly have some sort of electrical problem somewhere, man.
Probably the microwave. So I have it died now, but I have a frother that goes with my Nespresso at home.
Okay.
So I would have to, it got into the habit where I would have to unplug it and then plug it to make it work, but now it just doesn't work anymore. So I think it's probably just, this is just step one into eventually you're going to have to replace your microwave.
I mean, what happens when you unplug it and then plug it back? So is it because you can't run separate appliances at the same time?
No.
I think you got an amperage issue.
No, it's like a reset, like the 20-second thing, like when you restart your computer.
Anything that you have to unplug and then hook back up for a reset seems like it's got a problem.
Well,
yeah, it's probably time to return that.
I was able to use it for like 3 months before it finally went. Megan, what does your technology do that you can't explain?
I have to, like, jab my thermostat with a pen to make the heat go up or down.
Oh, wow.
Again, not ideal.
No.
No, not ideal in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, maybe call, you know, somebody. Go to Home Depot. Get a thermostat. Not that bad to replace.
But if it works just by jamming your pen into it, then why bother?
Well, you know, that one time that you get up during the middle of the night or whatever, you don't have a pen available and you're freezing your tuchus off, you know.
Does your technology do something that is really strange and you can't explain it? My Mac, I was sending an email to my coworkers this past weekend. Every time I typed Chris Rock's name, it just capitalized every letter. No explanation why. Whenever I would try to delete it and do it again, it would just do it again. It like refused to let me uncapitalize it.
That's weird.
Right. What does your technology do that's super wacky? 1-800-330-9999. Drew?
You know the Nintendo Wii? It's a video game console. Yeah, I have 8 of them. I use modifications on it. One time, I put some settings on there that must have screwed it up, and I actually like, entirely broke the system. Like, it wouldn't turn on. I couldn't, like, eject any disks. It just completely died.
Wait a minute. Did you say you have 8 of them?
I thought I heard that, and then I was about to ask the same question.
Yeah, I have 8 of them.
Are you putting together a time machine or something? Are we trying to open a portal to another universe?
Are you opening a store?
Are you playing them in the bathroom?
I mean, maybe, but no.
Why would you need 8 Wii's?
What if you put 8 of them together? Is it like a Voltron Nintendo Wii? Does it become like a superhero? Does it walk the earth?
Like a Transformer?
Yes.
I guess. Robert, what does your technology do that you can't explain?
Okay, so I was told that I have some sort of body makeup that when I touch an iPad, it'll just stop working. So I'm a teacher, and I'm given an iPad to, like, do work and whatever, and every single time I pick up my coworker's iPad, whatever we're doing stops working. So now they have to send everything to me so I can look at it on my laptop because I can't physically touch an iPad. And I was told I have to get a rubber mat.
That's
what I thought. Yeah. So apparently if I stood on a rubber mat and picked up this iPad, it wouldn't shut down.
You might be a superhero. You're not aware.
Well,
you
know,
right. You might have the ability to electrocute people if you're having that much of a static issue.
That's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's you know, stuff that happens with electronic devices.
That's so wild.
Yeah, you wouldn't think it would
it's
be all the
wild.
Time.
Yeah,
imagine like when you first found out, like how did you even figure out like there's something wrong with me? I would think like I just broke it every single time.
Yeah, you're a walking EMP.
Exactly. So I kept asking the tech people like, "Hey, this app isn't working," and they're like, "We don't see anything wrong with it." And then they were like, "It's you." It's you. And we did a little bit of an experiment, and sure enough, every time I picked up this iPad, it would shut down.
That's crazy. That's cool, though.
I hope you survive this.
I'm with Raven. You have, like, some kind of superhero abilities that you need to tap into.
Quite possibly, yeah. On the other hand, you might not be able to wear a watch the rest of your life. Seems annoying on that end, right?
Amber, what does your technology do that you can't explain?
Okay, so I got some Alexas to just make it easier to turn lights on and off and control things, like, remotely. And I have one Alexa in the living room that just goes rogue. You'll just be sitting there. It'll start playing music out of nowhere. It's every Friday at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
It's happy Friday. I didn't tell it to do any of this.
I have the
I don't
same
know why,
thing.
What is happening?
So it at 5 o'clock on Friday, it does applause and then fireworks and something. You're right. I never set it to do that either. I have one in the living room and one in the kitchen, and it's all open, the area. So they get into arguments.
What?
So I'll ask Alexa to do something. One responds, and then it'll ask me a follow-up question, and I'll answer that question, and the other one responds.
My husband won't let me have them. He's, like, convinced that, like, that people are listening. He's just, you know, he's, like, one of those guys, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think he's wrong, to be honest. I'm on your husband's side. I have 3 or 4 Alexas in my house, and I'm on your husband's side.
But it's just amazing how much we don't want to get up and turn on the light. Does yours always ask you, several devices share that name. Do you want this light, that light, or the other? Because that's what mine does.
I had to name my light. Uh-huh. So, like, my lamps are all named by what they look like. So we have orange lamp. We have sexy lady lamp. Yeah. We have lion lamp.
Sometimes these people go viral, and I'm like, I have been saying this literally for 35 years.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah, common sense ideas, right? Sometimes you say to yourself, it's occurred to me before, but then somebody else capitalizes on it. It happens.
American mom living in Paris went viral on TikTok. 8.5 million views she has on this. What is it? It's a popular after-school snack that kids have in France. And when I saw it, I was like outraged, Raven, because I've been trying to normalize this in America since I was a little chubby kid and did ate it every single day in the cafeteria.
But was it the exact same thing? I don't know.
It's a little different.
All right, so explain.
So she calls it in the video Gutierrez. So I tried to go on YouTube and find an explanation of what Gutierrez is.
Nos voisins anglais ont le tea time, les Américains ont le midnight snack, et nous les Français, on a le goûter.
Okay.
Oh, so that's a lot of help.
Yeah. So
appreciate that.
So what I realized was everything was in French, and then we weren't not going to be able to understand what was happening.
Right.
So goûter translates to a really light snack, so an after-school snack. But what she was pushing was this special thing. It is a French baguette.
Okay.
It is Milka chocolate.
All right.
Which you... Turns out I found out yesterday I can't find at Walmart.
Okay.
And salted butter. You just put it together on the French baguette, the salted butter, the chocolate bar, and that's it. That's the snack that everybody's freaking out and going over for.
I mean, so I guess they don't have a problem with calories or cholesterol or anything like that in France, right?
No,
because, I mean, this doesn't sound very healthy.
No, no, no. The French people don't
age. Sounds amazing, yeah, but it doesn't sound healthy.
But growing up, I would have what we would call in my house chocolate and papa, which translates from this made-up Italian thing to Nutella on Wonder Bread. And I would eat that every single day.
What did they call it in your house?
Chocolate and papa.
What did they call it at school?
They would just call it chocolate and bread.
No, I thought they used to call it a, yeah, they used to make fun of it, right?
To call it a poop sandwich.
Right.
It's not nice.
I'm just saying, okay?
It's not nice that they would call it that.
But now somebody's getting famous for it.
Right.
Wow.
So this is, so in Italy, we would have Nutella on bread, right?
Yeah.
So that's how I grew up with my family. And now here in France, what they're trying to bring it to America is this Gutierrez. So we're going to try it ourselves. Now, by a French baguette, I bought this bread at Costco, so I'm going to assume it's close enough. Producer Sean is going to put the salted butter right on it.
Salted butter. I mean, again, these are some of my favorites here.
Right. And I couldn't find the Milka chocolate bar, so I got the closest bougie chocolate I could find, which was the Cadbury Dairy Milk Chocolate, which is also delicious, right?
My grandmother used to put butter on sandwiches, and while it was definitely unhealthy, I felt like it was relatively tasty. You know, it's like later on, you know, back in the day, they didn't care about things like, you know, cholesterol or animal lard or anything like that. They'd be like, that's good for you.
That's enough, Sean. Let's eat it. All right. So now, producer Sean has been putting the salted butter on the bread with the giant chocolate bar. And we're just going to see, is it as delicious as they say?
I mean, I feel like it's taking a long time. You keep saying chocolate bar and salted butter, and I just over here, I'm salivating.
Now, I don't understand why in France they don't heat this up, because I feel like if this was warm and
it'd be
spread,
better.
It would be so delicious, toasted. But in France, they don't do it.
All right,
let's try. Ready? One, two, three.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everything I want. It's chocolate and papa. With butter.
It's not everything I expected, but I'm going to eat it. I mean, I'm not going to kick it off my plate.
I don't even taste the salted butter. Isn't it weird?
Yeah, I feel like the chocolate could be a little bit thinner, to tell you the truth.
No. It needs to be thicker.
Well, I mean, if that's the way they do it in France, I guess.
Yeah, no, we'll take this. We'll take this every day of the week. But then again, I've been pushing this since, like, 1985. So, you know, here we go. Why is it trending? Top stories trending and why. They're calling it Scandoval. Okay. Now, you got to follow along with me. I have never watched Vanderpump Rules in my life.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people haven't, but ironically...
It's going up this week, I'm guessing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder if this is just a giant publicity stunt.
Yeah.
I don't know. So if you're not familiar with the show like I'm not, it's been on Bravo for over 10 years. Tom Sandoval and Ariana Maddox are the couple that are involved here. They've been together for, I think, 9 years at this point.
Something like that. Long time.
And they've been part of the show. So over the last few days, I believe TMZ broke it on Friday that Tom Sandoval is having an affair with one of the other co-stars and one of Ariana's best friends named Raquel.
Yeah.
And now everybody is freaking out. I have gotten so many text messages and messages from friends being like, have you seen this? What do you think about this? And people I didn't even know watched this show.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like it's a reality show. And Andy
But it seems
Cohen,
like they have businesses that overlap and all that stuff. I mean, you've got a brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you've come out with all these things. So there's a brand. So, I mean, this kind of extends all over the place.
So I was thinking about it. It's like this big thing. She got punched in the face after one of those, you know, Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. And Andy Cohen is kind of the master. mastermind behind all this.
Yeah.
So he says this.
You will see this play out in a sense this season of Vanderpump Rules before the reunion.
All I keep thinking is, wait a minute. Is this just some big publicity stunt
right.
that this is what's happening here? But reports are saying that he's not living at their house and after all these years and that there's definitely physical altercations that have happened and that she found out by going through his phone and finding videos and all that kind of stuff. So sure. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, it's an affair and it blew up publicly. And sometimes it's really, really terrible. Honestly, listen, an affair always doesn't look good. You feel bad for the parties involved. But at some point, too, I actually feel bad sometimes for the people that are having the affair as well. Like, it becomes public knowledge. You acknowledge it and then people don't move on. They hold you to that forever.
Right. Most shocking affairs of all time. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, I mean, the tops of the list is going to be JFK, RFK, and Marilyn. I mean, both of them being involved with Marilyn Monroe is huge.
Oh, I would go further than that, and I would say Beyonce and Jay-Z, where she put out a whole album, and then Solange had to battle him in an elevator, might be a bigger cheating scandal than anything.
I mean, tell me that in 50 years. Brad and Angelina. That's a big one.
Tiger Woods and Elon, when she chased him.
I was going to say the Applebee's staff. I mean, he cheated on Elon, but I mean, right. Yeah, when he got, knocked with the golf club, right? When he crashed his car, that's a good one.
How about Adam Levine and Bahati Prinsloo? She's pregnant with their third kid, and all of a sudden he's sending weird DMs to like girls on Instagram asking if they can name their baby after them.
Right.
What is that?
I'd like to take your booty out for a steak.
Oh.
Jesse James and Sandra Bullock.
How do you cheat on Sandra Bullock? She's literally America's sweetheart.
Like, with like some crazy person with like supremacy like tattoos on their face.
I'll never understand how these things happen.
I got one for you. How about Gavin Rossdell on Gwen Stefani?
I mean, that
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Ethan Hawke, Jude Law, Ben Affleck, all of them with the nanny.
Do you think in 2 years we're going to be like, remember when Tom Sandoval cheated on Ariana Maddox?
No, I think it'll probably be gone from our recent memory at that point, right?
Getting into college. Oh, man, that was stressful, right? Well, there was a huge announcement that just came out this week.
1,700 prominent schools, such as Columbia University, suspended requirements for SAT or ACT scores because of the coronavirus pandemic. This week, Columbia University became the first Ivy League school to extend it indefinitely.
Columbia doesn't take SATs or ACT testing anymore. Hallelujah!
What?
Yep. Hot takes. What do we think about these major schools no longer accepting or making mandatory the testings, which I always did terrible? I'll go first. I could have been president of the United States of America.
That's hot.
I got an 880 on my SATs. I don't know if I ever told you guys that. Producer John, producer Sean, Raven.
Oh, you told me. And I've told everybody that I've ever come into contact with.
Yeah.
And now you just told everybody else. So that was brave of you, man.
It was like, I am not a test taker. And it was awful. I got rejected from 4 of my 5 top schools. I only got into my safety school, which is how I ended up there.
Which is how you ended up here.
And which is how I ended up in this seat. And all I could think about was that it was my SATs. Like, I could not test well. And that's what kept me back. If I just then, they would have done this like they did now, because of COVID.
Yeah.
It could have been so much different. I could have gotten into the schools that I really wanted to go to.
I mean, that just makes me think about, surgeons and stuff like that, but like, okay, that's just me, but all right.
I mean, they still have to get good grades, man.
Right.
I guess the surgeon still has to get A's.
If you say so.
Yeah.
If you say so, Mr. Dean of Admissions over at Columbia University, apparently.
Producer Sean, hot take.
All right. Free tuition for those they denied because of their SATs in the past. I feel like the only way you're going to make this fair is to let the people who were denied going to Columbia University in the past is just letting them come back and take a few classes or just give them free tuition.
You hear that, NYU and Fordham? NYU and Fordham, you hear that? You can send a check directly to my house. Producer John, hot take.
Well, this is a terrible thing. I mean, I hate this 100% for the exact opposite reason of you, Anna. I had a horrible GPA all throughout high school. I was not going anywhere. And then all of a sudden I got 740 on my verbal, and then I had options. Yay!
Wow!
Oh, hot, 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 hot! Hot, 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 hot!
Yeah, no, reverse this immediately. I hate this. This is a blow to underachievers everywhere.
What you just said makes me angry. So my whole lifetime of studying so hard, working hard on tests, volunteering at every organization, being part of every group at school so mm-hmm. I could have a standout like resume going into college, but that 880 held me back. But you had a good day.
You know what I did?
You had a good day.
You know what I did? I cut class and had one good day taking a test. That's cool. What I did.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I mean, it just seems to me, since we're changing all these regulations, all those degrees I see hanging on the walls when I walk into a fancy doctor's office now adds up to a whole lot of unused toilet paper at this point. I mean, come on. I want my surgeon to have been the best since they were born. I want them to have been bright and intelligent when they took the test, when they showed up after and for every class that took place after
yeah,
that,
but
too.
They might be great with a scalpel and still couldn't figure out the difference between option A and C on the standardized test.
Which is why you're a DJ, because it's called a scalpel.
Yeah, whatever. Right. Who was right and who was wrong in this situation? You're going to decide. I watched this like 6 times, and I was like, oh, my gosh. If I was the person that just ordered DoorDash, ordered my food, and all of a sudden the doorbell rings and this happens, I would be shocked. So this is the guy answering the door in the interaction that happened.
Are you believing it?
No, I could speak to you, actually.
I'm sorry?
I need to speak to you. I don't think you realize where they're coming from, so I need to speak to you.
Where what's coming from?
Where the food you ordered is coming from. I don't think you realize the distance that it comes from, because then you would never actually have given what you gave. You can come and face-to-face.
Like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? Like, you don't understand where the food you ordered is coming from? Now you have to come talk to your DoorDash person face-to-face that she's talking to you on the Ring camera?
What's the deal?
All right. She continues.
No, I don't understand.
From the restaurant that you ordered from. Do you realize you ordered from Carmack and you're in Smithtown?
That's a 15, 20-minute drive.
It's not. You need to try to drive it. I just drove it. It's 40 minutes.
So why do you have to pick up if you think it's that far?
So I think you need to adjust your tip to make it right.
How much is the tip?
You gave an $8 tip.
What the hell are you looking for? I gave an $8.
Okay, I'm going to bring the food back. I'm going to bring the food back. Okay.
She's mad that she drove 40 minutes to do this food delivery and that he wouldn't adjust the $8 tip to give her more because it took her 40 minutes to make that 12-mile trip.
Yeah.
And then brought the food back and refused to leave the food over the tip. What?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds crazy. You know, my two biggest questions would be here is how much food are we talking? I mean, if you're bringing $100 worth of food and you're coming 40 minutes, I would consider that. The other thing is like, I know that you can reduce a tip. You can do that. Like you can say you're going to do one tip, right? And then when you're in the order, you can reduce it. And a lot of times people do that. It's like an order grab, basically. So those are the only two things that I would say pay attention. But I mean, I got to imagine that once she does that, she's no longer delivering for DoorDash or whoever it is that she's doing it
for.
Well,
I don't know what the rules are because she says she's going to bring the food back to the restaurant. So
yeah.
I guess if you return the food, like what can happen at that point? Like the whole thing boggles my mind.
Yeah.
Because I understand what the poor guy is saying. He's like, you accepted it. Why would you accept the ride knowing that you thought it was going to be 40 minutes? You saw that I left $8 on it. You saw what the tip was. What did you think? Like, you were going to get there, knock on the door, and he was going to whip out a 20 and hand it to you?
Right. That part's not cool either, right? I mean, listen, I'm a good tipper. So typically if I see something like that, and I know it's taking a long time and they're going through a lot, and I mean, anybody who's driven knows what can happen. That's one thing, but yeah, I mean, to be confronted obviously puts up your defenses.
Who was wrong in this situation? A DoorDash woman knocked on the door when she was making a delivery, and the guy came on the speaker, and this is what happened.
No, I don't understand.
Do you realize you ordered from Carmack and you're in Smithtown?
That's a 15, 20-minute drive.
It's not. You need to try to drive it. I just drove it. It's 40 minutes.
So why do you have to pick up if you think it's that far?
So I think you need to adjust your tip to make it right.
How much is the tip?
You gave an $8 tip.
What the hell are you looking for?
I'm going to bring the food back.
She took the food back and did not deliver it because she said it took too long to get there and that he didn't adjust the tip to give her more. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Amy.
Absolutely. I had a similar situation where the DoorDash guy called me and said, you didn't give me a big enough tip. I'm not delivering your food and took it back to the store.
Don't they see it first, what the tip is, before they accept a delivery or no?
Yeah, it was a $12 tip. But because he hit traffic and it took him longer, he refused to deliver it. And when I called DoorDash, they told me there was nothing they could do.
Wow. Really?
That's interesting.
Interesting. Thanks so much, Amy.
I mean, the policy certainly would impact my decision-making skills, right? If it's going to take me off the road from delivering the next one for that long, then it becomes a mathematical equation. Roger, what do you think? Five calls says it all. Was the DoorDash delivery driver in the wrong to take back the food?
Yeah, I don't think it was very smart to leave empty-handed. She probably should have just took the tip she got. I'm actually a Dasher myself. And when you get the order, it tells you the mileage and the tip amount, and you should choose accordingly.
Yeah, that was my biggest question. It's like, if you see that, can't you make that decision before you take the order?
Oh, yeah. I turn down orders all the time like that. Like, if people don't want a tip, you just don't take the order.
Let me give a third possibility. You deliver the food, but you take back your favorite item. And then you just go, I don't know, man. I didn't see it in the bag, right? It's like supplemental income.
Peter, five calls says it all. Is the DoorDash lady in the wrong?
Absolutely, 100%. Because that's her job. Her job was to take the food, deliver it, and the tip is based on the service. But we've gotten so far away of what a tip is now. She doesn't ask how much she should get.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, Anna. This is Jaylene again. I called once. I used to be an Uber driver, and I also used to do deliveries for DoorDash.
So what do you think?
Well, I agree with the lady who delivered the food, partly, because, you know, sometimes as a DoorDash driver, you actually don't see the deliveries coming in. Like, they add on to your delivery, so you don't even know what the distance is. Then by the time you pick it up, you see that you're going to drive like 40 or 25 minutes. For these 40 minutes, they pay you roughly about maybe $10 at most. And you've driven 40 minutes, that's a lot of gas. So I think the guy should have been a little bit more considerate. Though I think even her, she should have understood that the guy tried. Not so many people tip even $8. So the guy tried, but it's good she brought it to light. We are having a discussion about it. And people should realize that delivery drivers go through a lot because you're burning your gas for 40 minutes and you're being paid $10. You know, so I think there should be a little bit more consideration from DoorDash and customers when you do an order.
I mean, that's a really good point. Yeah. So I see both sides of this so clearly.
Well, I think the vicinity is really important, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, what's that radius that you're selecting saying, yes, I accept it and it's in this amount, right? Because if it's 2 miles, that's one thing. That could be cumbersome, especially with traffic. If it's 5 miles, it's something else. If it's 8 miles or something like that because it's a distance away, that changes a whole lot.
I still don't know who I think is right. All I know is that I'm just hungry.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up to you to decide who's right. Dean and Morgan. Morgan, let's start with you. What's going on?
So my husband and I's 5-year anniversary is coming up, and he wants to take a trip to Tahiti. And I'm kind of opposed to it just because my sister is getting married soon and her dream honeymoon is Tahiti. And, you know, they can't afford it. I know they can't afford it. So I would feel really bad kind of like throwing it in her face.
Huh. Hmm.
Dean, what's your side of this?
I mean, I don't see why that has to be taken in that context, why her sister has to take it so personally. This is our marriage. We're celebrating something that we've accomplished. I don't think that should be something that we have to hide because we're hurt someone else's feelings. Why can't we enjoy our 5-year anniversary vacation without, you know, pissing people off? I don't think we should be blasting it on Facebook or anything, you know, and rubbing it in their faces, but going on our vacation that we deserve and we earned. I don't think we should sacrifice what island we want to go to, honestly.
I mean, I get completely what you're saying. On the other hand, I get what you're saying there too, Morgan. You know, here's the thing. It's right. You know some people. Some people are sensitive to these type of things, and other people would never be this sensitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that it's not really up to them. You know, what they shared in confidence of places they'd like to go or visit or whatever, it's not enough reason for somebody else to rule it out of their lives. You know, you could wait your entire life. They may never make it to Tahiti. And now you will never go either just because you were afraid of hurting your sister's feelings?
Exactly.
On the other hand, though, Dean, I mean, If Morgan knows her sister is going to be hurt and upset by that, the timing of which, they're still relatively young, they're getting married and getting into this, I kind of get that too. And if she doesn't want that hidden resentment, somebody like that that's going to be upset about something has probably already vocalized that to somebody else. So what, is your mom going to be mad too? Is your dad going to be mad too? Is it... I don't know. It's tricky, right?
Yeah. I mean, but also imagine if your sister says to you that it's her dream to go somewhere, and then all of a sudden you say, oh, that's so funny. Me and my husband are going next week. Like, that's also hurtful.
It is hurtful. But I mean, again, people can say things all the time, and they may never actually make the plan to do that thing in their life. So I would love to go skydiving. Oh, that means we can never go skydiving in our lives. I don't know.
All right. Well, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Dean, that what does it matter? It's your vacation. It's where you want to go. If you can afford to go and it's been on your list, just go. But they see Morgan's side, too. I mean, she's getting married and this is like her dream. And then you guys are going to say you're going to go instead of her. Like, you're a sister. That's, you kind of have to back down. Go somewhere else. You can go there another time.
Pick another island.
Anywhere. Right.
I mean, there are other islands. That's true. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Dean and Morgan are coming up on their 5-year wedding anniversary. And they've always wanted to go to Tahiti. So Dean says, let's go. Let's book it. Let's go. But all of a sudden, Morgan doesn't want to go because her younger sister is getting married this year. Hmm. She had mentioned that she would love to go to Tahiti on her honeymoon, but they just don't have the money to do it. And she thinks, what a slap in the face if all of a sudden she says, yeah, but I'm going to go. I'm going to go for my anniversary, even though you can't go for your honeymoon.
Timing is really key here, right? I mean, because if this is something that you had been working on before and then your sister kind of says this to you in passing and you haven't mentioned it, wow. Right? Mm. I mean, it's kind of a lot to take on. So, you know, I feel for Morgan slightly in that regard. On the other hand, like, you only come around one time, right? So if you really want to go and the thing's lined up for you to go to Tahiti right now, and Dean, you had this great idea, it seems kind of sad to kill the adventure.
What would you do? Would you spare your sister's feelings? 1-800-330-9999. Bree, whose side are you on?
Well, I am on the sister's side, but also I feel for the husband. And so my thought would be, go to Tahiti a year after her wedding. My mother-in-law went to the Amalfi Coast right before my honeymoon to the Amalfi Coast, and I changed my honeymoon. Because, you hopefully only get married once, right? So have a little respect for the sister. Hmm.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Dean and Morgan are looking forward to their 5-year wedding anniversary, and one of the trips they've always wanted to take was Tahiti, and Dean says, let's do it. We have the means. We want to go. Let's go to Tahiti. But one thing is holding Morgan back. Her younger sister is getting married this year. They had talked about Tahiti. Her sister wanted to go there on her honeymoon and blatantly said, we just can't afford it. We can't do it. And Morgan thinks it's a slap in the face to say, yeah, I'm going for my anniversary, but you can't go for your honeymoon.
Yeah, I'll just say it again. You know, timing here is really key, right? You know, and the mind is a funny thing. We play tricks on ourselves. You know, did she say it first? Did her sister say it first? Did she say it in passing 3 years ago? They've been married 5 years now. Certainly they've earned the right to go where they want to go on vacation. But Morgan just says, let's just choose somewhere else. It's not that big of a deal to us. Dean says, it's somewhere we want to go. Why wouldn't we go?
All right. Well, what do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Megan.
The husband's side. F***ing sister, honestly. You probably have to blur that out to the sister.
Right.
Honestly, like, these people want to go to Tahiti, and I think that's totally ridiculous that they would even spare the sister's feelings for that. She can still go to Tahiti. It's always going to be there. It's not going anywhere.
What is the most famous thing that any of us know about Tahiti?
I went to Tahiti.
Okay.
I went to Moorea, Bora Bora, and Tahiti.
What can you tell me?
Overwater bungalows. That's the thing. That's where it kind of started, right?
But they have that everywhere now.
Yeah, but that was like the origination place. I mean, it's gorgeous. It's very boring there. Very boring.
Hey, Vanessa, whose side are you on today?
I got to say, I'm on the husband's side because my husband and I, we put off our honeymoon, and then we ended up sending my sister to Spain. So, yeah. No, definitely go to Tahiti. Don't miss out.
You know, you want to be sensitive to people's feelings, especially people that are close to you. But some people are just overly sensitive, you know, than others anyways, right? And imagine going your whole life not doing things because somebody else mentioned they want to do it and you were afraid you'd step on their toes.
Vanessa, can you also send me to Spain? I would love that.
Yeah, right. As compensation.
I wish. Yeah. I wish I could go to Spain. Are you kidding me?
Hey, Ashley, whose side are you on?
I really think that they should just go on the vacation. You only live once, and her sister can look at it as
living vicariously through her sister and be happy for her sister, and they should go.
I'm sure the sister will do that. Be totally grown up.
Maybe.
But I think you're right. No regrets is a good way to be.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Dean, our audience agreed with you. You only live once, and if this is something that you've talked about wanting to do, then just go. Morgan, she'll understand.
I think that's the right answer. Absolutely. Let's get going. Get packed, baby.
Morgan, you going to be all right with this? I mean, I get what you're saying. It might feel a little bit awkward, but on the other hand, you know, I'm sure your sister is going to go somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I will definitely enjoy a trip to Tahiti. I won't complain about that. I just, you know, I'll feel a tinge of remorse a little bit in the back of my head. It's okay. I'm sure she'll get over it.
The second you get off the plane, that terrible feeling will go right away.
I'm sure you're right.
Yeah, you'll just smell pineapple, you'll have a Mai Tai, and you'll just, yeah, you won't even... You know, then you might feel bad when you get back again. I would skip the slideshow at Thanksgiving for the entire family.
Agreed.
Yeah, we'll keep that in our personal collection.
All right, if you have a problem too, send an email. couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $3,200 thanks to Cricket. With fast and powerful nationwide 5G on all plans, it's no wonder people who come to Cricket stay with Cricket. Alex, you ready to do this?
I'm going to give him my best shot.
All right, here we go. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it, Alex. Good luck.
Okay.
Thank you.
$3,200 on the line. Raven's walking out of here. That door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 questions. So you have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in. Ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yep.
Come on, let's win some money. Number one. Rebel Wilson admitted on The Daily Show that she was banned from Disney for 30 days after taking a selfie in a secret bathroom in the park. Which park opened first, Disneyland or Disney World?
Disney World.
Number two, the band Kiss has announced their final tour date and claims it'll be the last time they ever play live. In their hit song, Rock and Roll All Night, what do they want to do every day?
Party every day.
Number two, three, Tom Sandoval and Ariana Madix have been trending because after 9 years, he cheated on her with their castmate / Ariana's best friend. What show did they start on?
Don't know.
Number four, it's National Cereal Day. What cereal is kid-tested and mother-approved?
Life.
Oh, you are killing me, Alex. And number five, Avril Lavigne was kissing the rapper Tyga after confirming dating rumors. Tyga dated which one of the Kardashian-Jenner family members?
My daughter says Kim.
Oh, gosh. You know...
Usually I'm an oasis of useless knowledge.
Oh, gosh, Alex. All right, only one for Alex.
Wow.
Yeah.
$3,200, Alex. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Rebel Wilson admitted on The Daily Show that she was banned from Disney for 30 days after taking a selfie in their secret bathroom in the park.
Okay.
Which, who even knew that existed? And I would love to see a secret bathroom at Disney. All right, which park opened first, Disneyland or Disney World?
Disneyland.
Disneyland opened in the 1950s. Disney World opened in the 70s. Mm. Number two, the band Kiss has announced their final tour dates, claiming it's the last time they're ever going to play live. In their hit Rock and Roll All Night, what do they want to do every day?
Party, of course.
And party every day. Number three, Tom Sandoval and Ariana Madix have been trending because after 9 years, he cheated on her with their castmate / Ariana's best friend. What show are they on?
Vanderpump Rules. I would have never known until 3 days ago.
Number four, it's true. All over the news. Number four, it's National Cereal Day. What cereal is kid-tested and mother-approved?
I'll just take a shot and say Cheerios.
No, it's Kix. Number five, Avril Lavigne was seen kissing rapper Tyga, confirming the dating rumors. Tyga dated which one of the Kardashian-Jenner family members?
Kylie?
Kylie's right.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, Alex. He took you down 4-1 today. That'll get you an Anna on Raven t-shirt.
This is Alex, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, buddy. $3,300 tomorrow, Anna.